days of wine and roses. Laugh and run away.
This is Joanne Salisbury Troxell, and welcome to the Poet's Corner. Today, our World War I poet is Rupert Brooke. By now, Brooke ought to have faded to a footnote. His 1914 sonnets and their torrent of imitations, published daily in newspapers along with a casualty list, later came to represent the callous idiocy of the generals and politicians who blundered through the war until millions of people were dead. Unquestioning, self-sacrificing patriotism of the kind Brooke represented remains a powerful myth. As so often happens, the truth about Rupert Brooke is more interesting than the political and biographical myths that have followed him. Noted as being physically of great beauty, Brooks was well aware of his appeal to both men and women. He could hardly fail to be. Just about everyone who met him described his physical appearance in rapturous terms. That is exactly what Adonis must have looked like in the eyes of Aphrodite, Leonard Wolfe wrote. Yeats dubbed him the handsomest young man in England. The myth of Rupert Brooke, patriot of England and the war, has been sullied by time and truth. That he had affairs with both men and women is noted in letters, but silenced as best they can by those patriots of the war that still see him as a shining light. In 1912, his complicated love life triggered a severe emotional breakdown, and he went to Tahiti to recuperate. The war, when it came, appeared to him a relief. In the first and most disturbing of his 1914 sonnets, called Peace, the speaker thanks God for the moral purification of the war, toward which recruits rush like, quote, swimmers into cleanliness leaping. Brooks enlisted almost as soon as the war broke out, like most young men of his class, and finagled an officer's commission in the Royal Naval Division under the command of Winston Churchill. Upper class and stiff upper lipped, blonde haired and blue eyed, eager to sacrifice youth and beauty for king and country, Brooke embodied a romantic and remarkably tenacious national fantasy. He was a minor celebrity before he died, and a monstrous one after, holding on to this day to his fame and a rather tattered glory. It's been over 100 years since the death of Rupert Brooke, who for most of the past century has ranked among Britain's best known and most beloved cultural figures. During the evacuation of the Belgian fortified city of Antwerp, the sight of columns of refugees fleeing the city shook him. But in the end, to Brooke and his classically educated fellow officers, Belgium was nothing. They were sailing to Troy. In the spring of 1915, Brooke was on his way to the Dardanelles, the strategically essential waterway between Europe and Asia, known to the ancient Greeks as the Hellespont. Quote, Homer and Herodotus were our guides, he wrote to his mother as he sailed over the Sapphire Sea. Allied troops would make a muddled, bloody landing on the Gallipoli Peninsula, the start of a disastrous 9-month campaign. Book missed it by 2 days. A mosquito bite and a blood infection sent him down among the Greek ghosts. He was buried in an olive grove on the island of Skiros in the sapphire blue Aegean. In the library of King's College, Cambridge, Brooke's alma mater, there is a privately printed account of his death and burial. It established the twin poles of the Brooke myth, painting him as a literary hero for dying in Greece like Byron, and as a figure of national political importance. An obituary by Winston Churchill, which ran in the London Times, attributed his death to sunstroke. The symbolism was all. Here is the poem on which his fame rests. The Soldier. If I should die, think only this of me, that there's some corner of a foreign land that is forever England. There shall be in that rich earth a richer dust concealed, a dust whom England bore, shaped, made aware, gave once her flowers to love, her ways to roam, a body of England's breathing English air, washed by the rivers, blessed by suns of home. And think, this heart, all evil shed away, a pulse in the eternal mind, no less, gives somewhere back the thoughts by England given, her sights and sounds, dreams happy as her day, and laughter learnt of friends, and gentleness in hearts of peace under an English heaven. When the English came to lay out their war cemeteries, the organization in charge made Brooke's poem come literally true. The British established grave plots of varying sizes at the corners of foreign fields. Through a technical land lease agreement, they became forever English. Rupert Brooke, born 1887, died in 1915, 25 years old. This is Joanne Salisbury Troxell for the Poet's Corner. Sip the wine of life, smell the roses, and read a poem. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
You can listen to more of the Poet's Corner at kgvm.org.